Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, September 7th, 2023. Upcoming Tri-County Voter Registration Events by Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Tri-County. The Tri-County Voter Promoters, a local nonpartisan organization, is registering citizens to vote for the upcoming November 7th election. Voter registration will take place this week on Thursday, September 7th, at Porter's in Alpine from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and on Friday, September 8th, at the Marfa Post Office from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. On Tuesday, September 19th, National Voter Registration Day, the organization plans to register voters throughout the area in Alpine, Marfa, Fort Davis, and Terlingua. It is looking to add locations in Presidio, Marathon, and Valentine as well. Updates are forthcoming. On November 7th, voters will decide on 14 amendments to the Texas Constitution that are required to pass in order for recent legislation to become law. Propositions include increasing homestead exemption on school property taxes from $40,000 to $100,000, the creation of a state water fund to finance water projects, broadband infrastructure and energy improvements, funding for state parks, and more. The full list can be found on the Secretary of State's website. Tri-County Voter Promoters are targeting youth newly eligible to vote, new Texas residents, people with a change of address, name change, and those who may have had their registration lapse. To see if your voter registration is current, visit vote.org. The last day to register to vote for the November 7th election is October 10th. Early voting runs from October 23rd to November 3rd. If you are interested in joining the Tri-County Voter Promoters registration efforts, contact Roy Morey, R-E-M-O-R-E-Y, at bigbend.net or call 432-426-0122. Staff photo by Mary Cantrell. Shorthorn athletic teams and coaches rode on the back of an 18-wheeler during the Marfa Lights Festival parade last weekend. For coverage of the event, the Big Bend Sentinel hosted a competition among Marfa ISD's journalism students, who were tasked with writing stories about this year's annual festival for prize money and publication. City Now Shutting Off Utilities for Non-Paying Customers by Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. The city of Marfa has begun disconnecting water, sewer, and natural gas services for customers with past due accounts on a regular monthly basis for the first time since the pandemic. The city reintroduced the practice in July in order to recoup incurred costs for providing utilities, said City Manager Mandy Roan. We're asking people to pay for services that we've provided because the water that comes to their house has already been treated. We take it through our sewer. That gas has already been purchased, said Roan. Shutoffs were originally put on pause during the pandemic due to widespread economic hardship, then briefly resumed for select customers with large balances before the municipality switched to new billing software in the fall of 2022, at which time the policy once again lapsed. We quit doing shutoffs again because we wanted to make sure we had everything absolutely perfect, that no one was accidentally getting the wrong bill, that people's bills were arriving, said Roan. Because we had issues with the software and then the third-party company that we use to send out the bills. Bills are due the 15th of every month, said Roan, and past due notices are sent out on the 16th via mailed postcards or email notices. Once a past due notice has been received, a customer has 10 days to pay or they will be subject to shutoffs. Late penalties may also apply. Roan said payment plans, which typically involve a down payment of half of the outstanding balance in addition to ongoing monthly payments, are available. We really do try to work with people to make sure that everything is taken care of, said Roan. She was unaware of an exact dollar amount the city is hoping to recover, but said it has made definite strides in collecting overdue fees, and less than a dozen homes were currently without utilities due to the city's shutoffs, some of which were empty. But the enforcement has dealt a blow to some residents. This week, a GoFundMe was created for Marfa resident Rebecca Bersagel, who organizers say owes $15,000 in utility bills after falling on hard times, leading to city utility shutoffs. Rebecca has been such a sweet friend to me over the years, and I know that if the positions were reversed, she would do everything in her power to help me, too, wrote GoFundMe organizer Alexis Smith. To donate, visit https://bit.ly/lclog. Border Network for Human Rights hosts a day of action against immigration policies by Sam Karras. Sam at BigBenSentinel.com. Presidio. Last Friday, branches of the nonprofit Border Network for Human Rights, BNHR, in El Paso, Presidio, in the Rio Grande Valley, observed a day of action in opposition to Operation Lone Star, the controversial multi-billion-dollar state initiative to bolster border security by funneling resources and personnel into border communities. An initiative BNHR's executive director criticized for perpetuating racism, xenophobia, and inhumanity. Participating events were tailored to each community in accordance with the organization's mission of uniting and empowering borderlands residents. The Presidio branch of the BNHR, a relatively new addition to the network, has traditionally opted for hosting educational sessions to try to spread the organization's message as it grows into a local institution. Last Friday's local day of action followed suit as the organization's leaders hosted an informative tabling session at St. Francis Plaza. Attendees then made signs and stood in peaceful protest along the city's main street. There were just a few people, but they were educated on human rights in Presidio and came together to stay and help the community, said local coordinator Celia Arzaga. The organization has been vocally opposed to Operation Lone Star since the program's launch during the 2021 legislative session. This year's state budget, which took effect last Friday, devoted roughly $5 billion to border security, the bulk of which will go towards Operation Lone Star. The recent legislative session also saw the passage of several bills to increase enforcement along the border. Under the new laws, Border Patrol, a federal agency, will have the power to detain people suspected of committing state crimes, and other states will be able to share funding and resources for border security purposes. This year's budget will include even more funding through bills like SB 22, which will set aside money for rural sheriff's departments and prosecutors with heavy immigration-related caseloads. This year, Presidio County Sheriff Danny Dominguez is set to get a raise of over $20,000 under SB 22. County Attorney Rod Ponton also planned to apply for funding to hire a full-time assistant. Last week's actions carried an extra somber tone after the shooting of a Mexican national in Juarez. On the evening of August 26th, an as-yet-unidentified National Guardsman shot Darwin Jose Garcia from across the Rio Grande. In December 2022, Texas Governor Greg Abbott dispatched the National Guard to the border as a part of Operation Lone Star. Since then, other states, including Idaho, Tennessee, and Nebraska, have deployed their own troops to the border in support. BNHR Executive Director Fernando Garcia felt that the shooting along the Rio Grande was just the latest in a string of violent incidents related to Operation Lone Star disrupting everyday life along the border. Our safe and secure border communities are now filled with concertina wire, physical barriers, buoys, staged vehicles, and hundreds of military personnel, he wrote in a press release. In El Paso, BNHR hosted a community march and a rally starting from Sacred Heart Church, which has served as a sanctuary for thousands of migrants, as shifting immigration policy has left many in limbo. The communities of Brownsville, San Juan, and Far in the Rio Grande Valley hosted a press conference, community building event, and rally, respectively. Marfa Chamber of Commerce seeks new leadership as president resigns. By Mary Cantrell. MKCANTRELL at BigBenSentinel.com. Marfa. The Marfa Chamber of Commerce, a long-standing local organization originally established 1912, is seeking new leadership as its current president, Abby Boyd, steps down this November. Boyd has been in the role for over 2 years and wrapped up her third time organizing the annual Marfa Lights Festival this past weekend. She said while she no longer has the capacity to continue as chamber president, volunteering with the organization has been a challenging yet rewarding experience, and she was looking forward to passing the baton. "I appreciate being trusted with the position," said Boyd. "We have an opening for a community leader. I'm excited to see who that person is." Boyd announced her departure Monday on social media and was met with words of appreciation from the Marfa community, congratulating her on a job well done. During her tenure, Boyd sought to expand event offerings for local families, establishing annual Easter egg hunts and Christmas bazaars. "We really wanted to make sure that kids and adults had access to community-building, family-friendly events here in their hometown," said Boyd. She also worked with fellow chamber members to grow the business membership program and encouraged local officials to explore short-term rental regulations. Boyd has argued STRs are overabundant and take away vital housing from the local workforce. She plans to continue to advocate for STR regulations via a new organization she helped establish, Help Occupy Marfa Equitably, HOME, which is getting off the ground and will act independently from the chamber. "We didn't want that issue, which is polarizing, to detract from the work that the chamber does, explained Boyd. The role of the chamber president, not unlike the organization itself, has varied over the years, said Boyd, depending on who occupies the seat. For 36 years running, it has included putting on the Marfa Lights Festival, which she said is important to continue, but may expand to include other initiatives. When you are with an organization like the Marfa Chamber of Commerce that has this great reputation and history behind it, it gives you the platform to do big things if you're able, or small but meaningful things, said Boyd. She said moving forward, a strong team with diverse talents and the support of dedicated volunteers is needed to keep the chamber alive. Several new board members are also needed. We're hoping that we can get some interested people and vote them in before my exit date of November 1st, said Boyd. If we can't, then we'll have to look into how we can responsibly press pause on the organization until people are willing to join and keep it active. Terlingua residents concerned about potential cuts to rural UPS deliveries, by Sam Karras. Sam at BigBenSentinel.com. Terlingua. Last week, word spread around South Brewster County that UPS was planning to cut package delivery to the Big Bend's most remote regions, sparking concern among locals. The cuts, which if implemented in the region, would slash daily deliveries down to 3 days a week, would be a part of the company's rural deferral program, a pilot program that has been gradually rolled out since May. In May, UPS began implementing the rural deferral program in certain communities to consolidate package deliveries in hopes of making deliveries on some of the company's longest routes more cost-efficient. The Mobridge Tribune in South Dakota announced cuts in their area early in the summer. The Pistaquis Observer reported that cuts in rural Maine began on August 21st. Both areas have concerns in common with the Big Bend. The nearest box stores are hours away, and basic amenities like health care can be hard to come by. Locals were concerned that cuts to rural service would take away resources that make living in remote communities a little easier and cheaper. UPS is refusing to confirm whether or not parts of the Big Bend, including South Brewster County, would be included in the program, with spokesperson Becky Biciolis explaining that area impacted may change over time as we determine the effectiveness of the project. Terlingua residents, in the meantime, are left apprehensive about what the project could mean for them if rolled out in the remote region. Among those concerned was Kathy Benjamin, a Terlingua resident who has watched the region boom in population and business over the past few years. There are an awful lot of people who do depend on UPS just to survive out here, she said. Terlingua is 80 miles from all the shopping and services in Alpine, and residents in some of the further reaches of the county have a long trip just to visit the local general store. Online retailers like Amazon have become increasingly popular as a way to fill in the gaps, especially in resources like auto parts and home health supplies. Not everyone has the luxury of being able to order something a week or two before they need it, Benjamin said. As Terlingua waits for the opening of a new part-time healthcare clinic, Biciolis said that critical deliveries of medication would not be affected, though all other orders would need to spend an additional day in transit. The vast majority of rural deliveries represent only a fraction of their business, she said. This affects less than 0.5% of our deliveries every day, so the vast majority of our customers will not experience any difference in the service they receive, she said. UPS is the largest delivery company of its kind in the world, delivering packages to over 11 million people each business day. The company also made front page news throughout the summer as the Teamsters Union, the union representing UPS employees, entered five-year contract negotiations. The threat of a strike loomed from April until late July, when a contract was finally reached. The Teamsters' win is considered one of the largest in labor union history, carving out $30 billion in wages and benefits for over 340,000 employees. UPS spokesperson Biciolis did not draw a link between the contract negotiations and the cuts to rural service, but did say that it was part of a larger experiment. This will help UPS and our drivers more efficiently serve our customers, which will also help ensure competitive and affordable rates for our customers, both shippers and receivers, she said. This is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, September 7th, 2023. Obituary. Cabezuela. Jose Cabezuela, 91, a beloved husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, passed away at home on September 2, 2023, in Presidio, Texas. He loved his family and had a passion for farming and ranching. Jose also enjoyed taking walks with his favorite dog, Rita. Jose is preceded in death by his wife, Maria Cabezuela, two children, Herminia and Raul Cabezuela, and grandson, Jacob Cabezuela. He is survived by his children, Jose Luis Cabezuela, Alicia Cabezuela, Manuel and Rosemary Cabezuela, Jesse Cabezuela, and Juan Roberto and Berenice Cabezuela. Jose had 14 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. The Cabezuela family would like to thank Nora Ortiz, Fabiola Carrasco, and nurse Maricela Gardea for their help, care, and compassion during his illness. Family will hold a private ceremony. In his own words, que viva la revolución. Funeral announcement. Funeral services for David Hinojos will be held September 9th, 2023, at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church, with burial to follow at Merced Cemetery. A small gathering to be held at the reception hall following interment. Hinojos' obituary was published in the August 31st, 2023 edition of the Big Bend Sentinel.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahan's News for Thursday, August 31st. School out of bond money for bus barn. The story was written by Jan Cranfill. A bond update was presented to the Monahan's Wicked Pyote ISD School Board of Trustees at the Monday evening meeting, and R.J. Lopez, associate architect with Park Hill, reiterated the lack of funds to replace the bus barn. The replacement of the bus barn was part of the original architectural plans, but several phases of the construction took more money than was expected. Quote, the shower areas and the swimming pool, when they had to completely rebuild it because the plans didn't have the correct number of needed shower stalls, and also elevated material expenses due to delays in ordering before price increases took effect, possibly contributed to the lack of funds to complete the original plans, Lopez said. We are looking into other options for a new bus barn and the renovation of Suter's conversion to the welding shop and future automotive shop, Lopez said. Park Hill has presented an alternative solution to the bus barn completion to the administration and school board, It is called a design-build contract, which is a company that offers a choice of set floor plans instead of architectural designing. According to Lopez, a metal building contractor could build the bus barn at much lower cost than a contractor like Lewis Construction. Quote, "There's numerous oil field building contractors around the area that have plenty of experience putting up metal buildings that contain office space, vehicle work bays, and large overhead doors," Lopez said. Parkhill will make contact with some contractors to discuss the specifications and report back to the board. Quote, "The aquatic center is now being used and only needs some minor tweaking in the heating and the elevator. The sports complex is 70% finished. The high school cafeteria is open. The football stadium is operational," Lopez added. Phase 2 of the new field house is almost complete, and the Phase 3, remodeling of the old field house, is projected to be finished by December. Quote, "The big band hall is complete. It has new carpet, paint, ceilings, lights, and the roof is being closed up between the buildings. When the roof is finished, students will be able to walk from the band hall to the complex under one roof," he said. The school bond project is expected to be complete by September of 2024. Quote, "Monahan's Education Center's renovations are slated to be complete by next August. Phase 2 of renovations to Colander and Tatum are expected to be finished by August. Sudrith CTE classrooms and Phase 3 at high school, which is the final touch-ups in gyms and locker rooms, as well as final site work, are all aiming for next September completion," he said. School to pay $290,000 for security. The story was written by Jan Cranfill. On September 1, 2023, a new school safety law goes into effect for all Texas school districts, which will require every school campus to have an armed security officer assigned to each campus during school hours. During the Monday school board meeting, the Monahans-Wickett Paiute ISD school board trustees, in accordance with the state law, determined a need for the minimum of one armed security officer at each of the MWP ISD campuses and approved a motion. Quote, "Local law enforcement departments currently operating under a staffing shortage and cannot supply an officer for every campus, and the school district does not have the funds to organize and train their own campus police force," Assistant Superintendent Jeff Jones said. The school board voted to employ the services of Bravo Sector Securities out of Odessa to supply the needed officers for the local school campuses. Quote, "Freddie Redman, owner of Bravo Sector Securities, has chosen 5 officers for us according to our specific requirements. They are slated to be here Tuesday morning to meet with us and start their jobs," Jones said. The state will reimburse the school district $15,000 for each campus to help defray the cost, making a total of approximately $75,000. The security service will cost the school district approximately $290,000, a difference of $215,000 that the school will be liable to pay. Quote, "We are not sure at this time where we will get the extra money," Jones said. The bill was a direct result of the Uvalde school shooting in May of 2022. One section of Texas House Bill 3 encompasses the Texas Education Code that requires at least one armed security officer to be on duty at every Texas school campus. According to the bill, the requirements are geared for a commissioned peace officer, namely a school district peace officer, a resource officer, or a commissioned peace officer employed as security personnel. Some school districts, such as the Pecos Barstow Toya ISD, have formed their own school district police force. Pecos's force consists of approximately 10 officers devoted strictly to school campus security. Commissioners give nod to Till over Cutbirth. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. A discussion and vote on a replacement for the Ward County Attorney's Office, which was vacated by Alan Nicholas as of August 31st, led the Commissioner's Court agenda on Monday. Two applicants expressed an interest in the position, current City Attorney Justin Till and Camilla Cutbirth, both of whom were present for the meeting. Both candidates have substantial qualifications. Till's include his year and 2 months serving as city attorney, and Cutbirth's qualifications include time served as Ward County Assistant District Attorney under Randy Reynolds and Nicholas. The county attorney post pays around $121,000 annually. Approximately $23,000 is reimbursed by the state. Quote, "This is really tough. I have known both of them for years, watched them grow up and pursue their dreams. Either one could do a really good job. We have a small pool of qualified local lawyers, and there's been times in the past we haven't had anyone available to fill open positions. And now we have very qualified applicants, but we have to make a decision," Ward County Judge Greg Holly said to the court. Holly told the court that there's a shortage of good lawyers, lawyers that have the education, experience, trust, and honor. Quote, "Both of these individuals have all these qualifications, but I am leaning toward Justin since he has been here and has already helped out," Holly said. Precinct 3 Commissioner Dexter Nichols, Precinct 2 Commissioner Larry Hanna, and Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelms all expressed they would consider Till. Precinct 1 Commissioner Tino Sanchez said, quote, "I don't know either one very well, but I know more about Camilla. She would be my consideration," end quote. After the discussion phase of the meeting, Holly asked for a vote. Holly, Nichols, Hanna, and Nelms all gave the nod to Till, and he was appointed to serve. Till will be sworn in at 4 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. In other business, the court approved raising jurors' pay. Quote, "Currently, our jurors are paid $10 for showing up when called for the jury pool and $40 a day if picked to serve on the jury," Holly said. The state recently increased the minimum pay requirements to $20 for being called and $58 if chosen to serve. The state will reimburse counties $14 a day for the day of being called and $52 a day for serving on a jury. Quote, "I propose we establish our jury pay at $30 for showing up when called for jury pool and $120 a day if picked to serve," Holly said. The commissioners unanimously agreed with the pay increase. The county will foot the remainder of the jury pay of $16 a day for showing up and $68 a day for those picked to serve on the jury. In other pay increases, the commissioners voted to approve a pay raise for golf course employee Jesse Orndorff in the amount of $1,600 biweekly with full benefits, effective August 28th. The commissioners also gave a yes to accepting a $7,600 donation to the Ward County Sheriff's Office from Eagle Claw Midstream's second annual Holes for Heroes charity golf tournament in Midland on June 27th. The event raised over $175,000 for first responders in the West Texas and Houston areas. The court held a public hearing on the upcoming budget and tax rate, but no one was present to comment, and after the hearing was closed, commissioners voted unanimously to approve both. quote, the taxes were not increased, but rather decreased. The government wording uses the term increase and does not make wording allowances for decreasing county taxes. In the court's last meeting on August 14th, the tax rate was set to reduce the current 69 cents per $100 of valuation to $62 per hundred of value, Holly said. The commissioners gave approval to pay the county bills for this period. The next regularly scheduled commissioners' court meeting will be held on September 11th at 9:30 a.m. in the Ward County Courthouse at 400 South Allen. Individuals who would like to address the court to ask questions or inform the commissioners of problems in their precinct or Ward County can call Judge Greg Holly at 432-943-3209, discuss their question or concern, and ask to be placed on the agenda for the next commissioners' meeting. Monahans Police Department receives accredited law enforcement agency. Monahans Police Department received the award of accredited law enforcement agency from the Texas Police Chiefs Association Law Enforcement Accreditations Program on August 28th. The accreditation program, which began in 2006, evaluates a police department's compliance with over 170 best business practices for Texas law enforcement. Quote, I'm proud of all the personnel of the department for their commitment made in the process of achieving the accreditation status through the Texas Police Chiefs Association. The TPCA accreditation program raises the bar for law enforcement in Texas, and we are part of it, Police Chief Christopher Quintana said. These best practices were carefully developed by Texas law enforcement professionals to assist agencies in the efficient and effective delivery of service and the protection of individuals' rights. These best practices cover all aspects of law enforcement operations, including use of force, protection of citizen rights, vehicle pursuits, property and evidence management, and patrol and investigative operations. Currently, there are over 2,700 law enforcement agencies in Texas. The Monahans Police Department has always considered itself to be one of the best in the state and is one of the approximately 200 agencies that have been granted accreditation through TPCA. This process provided for an independent review of the department's operations and should assure the citizens of Monahans that its police department is conforming to the current state of the art in law enforcement. The department will be presented with a certificate during a presentation in an upcoming city council meeting, and MPD will be recognized for their accomplishment at the TPCA conference next March. Barstow man indicted on sex acts against kids. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Barstow man who was arrested and booked into the Ward County Jail in December 2021 on two felony sex charges against children has now been indicted on both charges. Jesus Angel Queiroz, age 40, of Barstow, was indicted by Ward County Grand Jury on August 16th and arrested on August 23rd. He was charged with aggravated sexual assault and indecency of a child. The charges stem from allegations of indecency with two children under the age of 17, for whom Queiroz was the legal guardian. The indictments state that Queiroz did knowingly have sex by penetration with the child who was under the age of 17 and did knowingly touch the genitals or breast of a child under the age of 17. According to Ward County Sheriff Ferran Valle, quote, on October 11, 2021, around 11 a.m., deputies responded to the city park in Barstow in reference to a child custody issue. While taking the report, the complainant, who was another legal guardian of the children, spoke to deputies about possible sexual abuse of a female child under the age of 17, where Quiroz was named as a suspect. End quote. As per protocol, Child Protective Services was notified, along with Harmony Home and Medical Center Hospital, all of which assisted in the investigation. Evidence of sexual assault from one female victim was obtained. Quote, deputies later learned of another female child under the age of 17, who the complainant said was also possibly a victim of indecency by sexual contact, and once again Quiroz was named as the suspect, Valle said. Quiroz's bond was set at $40,000, and he remains in custody in lieu of posting the bond. The offense can be punishable by imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for any term of 2 to 20 years in prison, a fine of up to $10,000, or both. Smith arrested for stealing from former employer. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Monahans woman was arrested recently for allegedly stealing around $3,000 in cash from her then-employer in late July. On July 29th, Ward County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to a business located in the 2200 block of South Stockton in reference to a theft. According to Ward County Sheriff Ferran Valle, quote, deputies met with the manager of the business and observed video evidence of the suspect, Tamara LaTroy Smith, age 43, of 1002 South Bruce Street, taking over $3,000 in cash from the business. Smith was employed by the business at the time of the alleged offense, he added. An arrest warrant was issued from Justice of the Peace Roy Bean for Smith charging her with theft of property more than $2,500, less than $30,000, a state jail felony. Smith was subsequently arrested on August 18th for the outstanding warrant. Bond was set at $8,000, and Smith posted the bond and was released. Upon conviction, Smith is facing any term of not more than 2 years or 180 days in a state jail facility and or a fine up to $10,000.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.